This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
In the summer, only radio hosts should be allowed to drink. I'm not saying I need to get drunk or whatever. Just saying, it would just the vibe would be chiller.
Yeah.
The vibe would be chiller if we both had just a beer outside of the door that we could access during break, since we do not bring drinks in the studio, is what I was saying. This is with the top, this is water with the top on it. Come on.
Okay.
I'm the filling guy. Oh man, I'm just the filling guy.
I didn't realize
that the adult contemporary station host had poured water all over the electrical board and made you mad. Sorry about that. Nah, those are good friends. Hey. Good people. Good people here in the studio, and I always try and play by the rules.
Just chilling out on a Friday like Cruz Lucius is going to be doing
Cruz Lucius owns Fridays. In fact, Cruz Lucius may have a clause in his contract like, I don't play Friday games.
Yeah.
I need my Fridays off, baby. He'll play on Little Thursday. He'll play on Little Friday, which is Thursday night.
Yeah.
He'll play Thursday night, and then he will be out at Glenwood South after Thursday night games. Like, Rod better wrap it up in the locker room real quick. And media, don't even think about trying to meet with Cruz Lucius after a Thursday night game. My man will be down in the on Glenwood South because the new social district ends at 11 o'clock, right? Mm. So he'll be out at the bars. Saturdays, you'll find him out in the social district.
Oh, easily.
Downtown there on Fayetteville Street. Cruz, we need to get Cruz Lucius to Raleigh. We will instantly become a cooler city.
I'm wondering if actually the guys that are drafted are actually going to be at prospect camp that I think starts next week.
Ooh.
So maybe go to talk to Cruz Lucius.
You can find his stomping grounds.
Yes.
He might, I don't know, like he's still in like college mode.
He's 18.
So, but there's you can do it down there in Glenwood South. What's the bar downtown at Fayetteville Street? The 80s, 90s bar.
I know what you're talking about.
Shoot. Somebody will tweet it at me. I feel like Cruz Lucius would enjoy that. You know what we don't have? We don't like.
He's a killer on air hockey at Boxcar.
Have we ever had? No. Cruz Lucius is not playing air hockey in a bar. That's for nerds like you and me. I'm in there on a Friday night, mad that the people drinking and, you know, meeting people to go home with are like jostling me while I'm trying to win my seventh straight NBA jam.
Yeah.
NBA jam game, right? Like, that's me at Boxcar on a Friday night. You're over there with your girlfriend getting beat in air hockey.
Hey, we split 1-1.
Cruz Lucius.
We split 1-1.
Is in a club. He's down there on, I can't even think of the names. This is how out of it I am. I used to at least be able to name check cool bars, even if I didn't actually go to them. Mm-hmm. What's the one? I keep wanting to call it Comfort. What's the one? They now own like the whole block there on Glenwood South. It started where they just owned the one bar, and then they bought the house next to it and made it like the bar that stretched too. And then what is
there's like Alchemy, I know, is down over there.
Across the street. What's right there?
Cornerstone.
Cornerstone.
Yeah.
I knew it started with a C. Cornerstone's basically the whole block. That, yeah, my friend, is where you will find Cruz Lucius when he is in town for prospect camp. I don't know who the people are that will take him to Cornerstone. I don't know who the people that he will meet to end up at Cornerstone. All I'm telling you is Cruz Lucius, future Wisconsin Badger and crusher of all things in Madison, Wisconsin, when he gets to Raleigh, North Carolina, he will find himself at Cornerstone. You like that? He's just going to crush a lot of things, and you can decide what they are. I might be talking about video games. He might be crushing video games. That might be what I mean. Maybe. You don't know. I just said he's going to crush a lot of things. He's going to crush a lot. All right. Speaking of people who crush a lot, Steph Curry, Chris Long, and Adam Gold, and a Major League Baseball umpire who doesn't know how to use the technology yet, as we talked about earlier this week, they are all part of the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
First up, it is Chris Long. And see, I was kind of disappointed with this because this is what happens. We talked about this yesterday when Swim puts out a semi-credible reading report that says UNC and Virginia and who was it? Clemson and Florida State to the SEC. We tried to do our best to tell you that's not going to happen. We've talked to smart people, the David Teals, the Luke DeCox, the David Glenns. We'll get Joe Giglio in here. Everybody who will tell you that's probably not going to mean the demise of the ACC yet this summer, But there is reason to be a little worried for the ACC looking not too down in the distant future. But the funny part of it is you get Chris Long talking about how excited he is to be in the SEC. There's a little bit of sarcasm here, but here's Chris Long.
Now, I know what a lot of y'all are thinking. Virginia, the perfect SEC type of school, the perfect SEC atmosphere here in Charlottesville. That's why I did this video under a magnolia tree. Look at the size of this thing. A fine southern tree. Kids, I can't talk right now. We're going to the SEC. Virginia's going to the SEC. Virginia Tech's not. Sorry, Blacksburg. You're just not a big-time SEC school. You don't have a big-time SEC football program, and we do. That's why we're going to sit at the big kids' table. Virginia and the Southeastern Conference. Like fried chicken and sweet tea.
That is Chris Long. All right, now, there is a little bit something to this. He was being somewhat sarcastic of being like, Virginia's a perfect fit for the SEC, right? But he's being sarcastic because he's like, nah, like, you know, doing the Colonel Beauregard voice. Oh, no, Swiss Southern sweet tea. Like, he's joking because he's like, that's not really Virginia. What was that ringing noise in my ear? Did everyone hear that?
Sorry, just a program.
That's all right. Did everyone hear that or
yeah,
just
they
me?
Did.
Okay,
they did.
All right. So they're not wondering what I'm reacting
that
to.
Just, but I got everyone's attention.
But for just a second, though, Chris Long, like, let's not act like it would be crazy to act like Virginia belonged to part of the South, right? Like, that's not that. Colonel Beauregard very well fits in Virginia. Have you been to Richmond?
Mm-hmm. Actually,
have you walked around Charlottesville? Like,
yeah.
It's a very much, it's more of a fit for the South than you may be putting on. But I get what you mean. It doesn't have the, I'm sure he was speaking to the football traditions of the SEC that Virginia is now going to be a part of. As we mentioned earlier, next up, it is Steph Curry talking about Charles Barkley. He was asked specifically, do you think Charles Barkley can make it in the top 70 out of 87 competitors, can he fit it into the top 70? It's not the greatest audio, but here's what Steph Curry said.
You know, that's out there again this year, top 70. Do you think he can do it this year?
No.
Just gotta send it to him, let him play on every team. There's no way he's doing it. So, as much faith as Chuck has had in the Warriors and jump shooting teams winning championships, that's the least of my.
Here's the thing. So in case you missed it, he's like, no way he's making 70. He said, you can clip that, save it, send it to him, whatever. He ain't making the top 70. But then by following it up by being like, as much faith as Charles Barkley has had in jump shooting team, basically saying that Barkley says, because the Warriors lack a dominant big man, they're not going to win championships, and they keep proving him wrong over and over and over again, right? But like when he says that, it makes it sound like he's only saying he thinks Barkley won't make the top 70 out of revenge. Like, it doesn't look like he actually thinks he's bad. It looks like he's just spiting him now that he gets to play the commentator to Barkley's game instead of the roles being reversed. But whatever. I'm betting on Barkley to make the top 70. I got my money on it. Next up on the Wall of Sound.
Have gold units on it.
Oh, yes, I do have gold units on him. Speaking of Adam Gold, couldn't see fit to come in to work today or
no.
All week, really. But what do I hear as I'm driving in today listening to what normally would be Mike Greenberg, but instead it is something called Canty and Carlin appear on ESPN Radio. They do their two-a-days. And again, I'm not knocking Canty and Carlin. They're in New York. They want to talk about New York NFL stuff. That's fine. But like as I've been listening to be like, let me make sure that I'm not missing anything crazy in the sports world as I drive in to host a sports radio show. So I'm like, what's going on in sports radio? And they're like, oh, we are in Chicago Bears camp today. And I'm like, well, I'm definitely not missing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when they do a Panthers two-a-day, we may care a little bit more. But not that. I don't care that much what Canty and Carlin have to say on a Panthers two-a-day. But if they bring in Adam Gold to talk about it, well, then you got my attention. Here's Adam Gold on ESPN The National with Canty and Carlin saying what chance Baker has to reinvent himself in Carolina.
I mean, it's competition, but I think the bar is low. If you can't get over Sam Darnold, kind of hard. You're not really reinventing yourself if you can't beat out Sam Darnold. I anticipate that, while it's not a formality, Baker will have to play well. I think Baker's baseline is probably better than Sam Darnold's baseline. So good for Baker. He'll get a year to kind of reestablish a career. But I'm not really sure what the Panthers are doing.
Adam Gold on Canty and Carlin. He followed that up when asked what the ceiling was for the Carolina Panthers. How good can they be? Here's what Adam Gold, some guy named Adam Gold from North Carolina, had to say about the Panthers.
I actually think they did a great job rebuilding one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. I think they actually have a chance to be a maybe top half of the league offensive line. I still think they leave something to be desired at receiver, not just wide receiver, but tight end. But you've got Christian McCaffrey. You've got a very good young defense. It's not as good as it was at the beginning of last year, but I still think it's very good.
Panthers, that's a good point by Gold. Panthers have gotten nothing from the tight end position since Greg Olsen. I mean, just nothing. I like the dudes, and every year they seem promising. Like, Ian Thomas seems like he can get more. We pulled that one dude. We traded the one guy that looked the most promising last year. Maybe the rookie. Who's the guy we got out of Notre Dame that it looked there were a couple gadget plays for him? He ran a play. Tommy, something maybe? I can't remember.
Tommy Tremble.
Is that him?
Yeah, he was a second or third round pick.
Maybe it's hopeful that he could develop into something, but I'd love to see, like, you know, 50 or 60 catches for him this year.
Yeah.
You know, six or seven touchdowns to be like, okay, that's a dude we could have playing tight end for 10 years. But no, good stuff. Always good to hear the local guys on the national show. Adam Gold sitting in on Canty and Carlin as the Panthers expert for their two-a-days. And then finally, on the Wall of Sound, we called this one. We said this earlier. We gave you the audio where the, the guy had gone through the review and he's like, at the first, we have no home run and the, all right, 2-4, first base. It's like, dude, we got to give these guys some practice. Bring
Do I need to drive to the second window? Bring
in the NFL guys and teach you how to talk on the mic. Give me some giving them the business. Yeah, give me some that. And so we warned you, these baseball umpires have a career of not having to talk on the mic, and now they're being forced to, and sometimes this happens.
After review, the call on the field stands.
Oh, my gosh.
The runner is out. Washington will lose their challenge.
Seriously? What did we see that they did not, or vice versa?
Wait, this is definitive right here.
Just like, they told us just to like stare up at the press box.
Oops. Turn your mic off, Bill.
He was even instructing. He was like, they tell us to stare up at the press box when we're making the call, and that's what he did. Fantastic. But
just having to drop a four-letter word in there.
To turn the mic off. Hot mic. Hot mic. It's the Adam Gold Show. I feel like you can't talk to that part, right? Like, you gotta let the whole intro play. Welcome to the Gold Show. We got fun and games. Hayes Permar filling in, staring down the last bit of a work week. If you have an actual job, if you're not tied to hosting radio from noon to three, you should be gone by now. It's the summer. No one should be working the afternoons on Friday. But if you host a radio show in the afternoons and you still got work to do, including the guys on my roundtable, it is Joe Giglio from 99.9 The Fan and Jeremy Green up there in ESPN Asheville. Joe, how are you doing, sir?
I'm impressed you got Cox into the studio today, although it sounds like he already squeezed in Thor.
He already saw Thor. I
saw it at 4:30 yesterday.
He was in the theater. I finished the show yesterday producing it from that side, doing it all myself so that Cox can get out early and go get to Thor. Jeremy Green, how are you doing, sir?
Oh, just waiting to see if I'll be adding the George Clooney Batnips suit to my studio.
Have you been listening to the show? Yeah, we're betting.
I heard you say Val Kilmer was the best Batman ever, and as a man, as a grown man with a Batman tattoo that wears a Batman watch every day, that could not go untalked about.
All right, well, hold on. I may have misspoken when I said that Val Kilmer was the best Batman. I'm not necessarily saying he is, but that is the best Batman movie. That I will stand by. I'm team Batman forever.
Dark Knight has something to talk about. That is the greatest movie that was ever made.
Lazy sheep thinking from you, Jeremy. But actually, I've got beef with you, Jeremy. I've got serious, serious issues with you. And do you want to know what they are?
I would love to.
What's the temperature right now where you are?
It's, I don't know, 82, 84.
That right there, that's my beef with you. All week you've been up there in this high elevation, breathing that sweet mountain air, and not just absolutely dripping in sweat just from the mere thought of going outside. So tell the rest of the state of North Carolina who's listening how nice it feels to be in Asheville in July as opposed to any other city.
Oh, there's a nice little breeze. The sun tucks away every once in a while behind a cloud. You can play golf. That's what I would be doing if I wasn't tied to hosting a radio show on the afternoon.
It's
quite nice.
You think you can play golf in the summer, and then you forget, like, unless you're teeing off before 9 a.m., it's just not very fun on a week like this one. All right, let's talk some actual sports, fellas. Let's start with Baker Mayfield. He is the newest Carolina Panther. Is he the starter week one, Joe Giglio?
Yeah, I think he has to be. Why else would you trade for him?
All right. That's it? You're not going to lie? Because it's radio, man. You can't give me 30 seconds. You can give me short answers. That's what we're doing here. But I did. So I thought the same thing, and we had Travis Hancock on, and he joined us and said the same thing. But I saw Jeff Saturday say, follow the money. And if you're paying one dude $19 million, no. You got to start with him.
No.
Jeremy Green, you evaluate quarterbacks, and specifically in the draft. How good was the draft of 2018 now that we got two of the top three quarterbacks?
For the Buffalo Bills and Baltimore Ravens, it was great. for my Jets, the Cleveland Browns, and the Arizona Cardinals, not so great.
Did this pick make you feel better? Did this trade, excuse me, to get Baker Mayfield, do you feel more optimistic about the Panthers?
Not in the least. I've said for a solid year now, I think Baker Mayfield is the greatest draft bust of the last 12 years. I don't see it. I don't understand what it is that people see in him. Now, to the question that you asked Joe, is he the starter week one? I'm not as sold on that. I don't genuinely think he's much better than Sam Darnold. He's one of the worst fourth quarter quarterbacks I've ever seen. He lives hurt. He's very mouthy. And people just don't like him. And so why would you make the trade for him? Security. Matt Corral should not take one snap this year if everything goes the right way. Maybe the last four games to see what you have in him, but he's so far away from being an NFL quarterback. Sam is bottom six among starting quarterbacks. This is all a security thing. Now you have two quarterbacks. Neither are great, but I think they're the same guy.
Yeah.
I do think Baker Mayfield actually gives the Panthers a chance to compete for a playoff spot. I don't think that was even on the table with Sam Darnold. Do I think they could win more than nine games? No. Do I think there's potential there for Baker Mayfield to have best case scenario and save Matt Rhule's job? Best case scenario.
Right.
But all of the things Jeremy just mentioned about his personality and the flaws that he has, I don't know how he's going to ingratiate himself to a new team this quickly in a situation where everyone knows you're a one-year player.
How did he go, Jeremy, from the, you know, it's the classic when the guy has swag, you know, when you're winning and he's on your team and he's, you know, provoking the other team or doing stuff with the flag or whatever, it's cool and it's awesome and he's the guy who rallies the troops and he's getting more out of them. But quickly, if you're not winning, he's, you know, annoying and full of himself and not focused on the right things. How did it go from seemingly good in that one solid playoff win year to what it ended up being in Cleveland?
Well, it's the old narrative of a jerk that wins is charismatic. A jerk that loses is a jerk. And with Cleveland, you look around that roster, that team should have been contending for Super Bowls. You have an elite pass rush. They've drafted well. The defense is good. The defense is young. They had more weapons. I don't love the receiving core now, but I mean, you ran Odell Beckham Jr. out of town and I don't love him, but he's still talented. He went to the Rams and they figured out how to make it work. Something that Cleveland and Baker couldn't do. And you had the best running game in the league. So you look at all of the advantages. I've heard this narrative of Cleveland is such a dumpster fire that Baker made them this in spite of them. It's just not true. They've drafted better over the course of the last 5 years. Yeah, it's a historically bad franchise, but this is not the doldrums that they're made out to be. He had a lot of advantages. That offensive line is good. And now you look at what he comes into with Carolina. I do like the improvement in the offensive line. If Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy, you'll still be able to run the ball. I like Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, but this is something I heard you talking about earlier. They don't have a tight end. Well, that's something Baker loves. Baker's always loved the, in the red zone, forcing the ball into his tight end.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. He's one player I'm never going to understand. Yep. Baker Mayfield and Russell Westbrook, two players that I will never understand why people like them so much.
Joe, let's assume that we get the best out of Sam Darnold. Let's take the names off of it and just say, if you, what do they do, that a value over replacement player type thing? If we were able to put the 15th best starting quarterback stats in for the Carolina Panthers this year, would you look at them and say, no, that's a not only a playoff team, but one that's very interesting. And the question is, does Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield give you a 15th best quarterback position?
I feel like Baker Mayfield from 2020, the pandemic Baker, who was healthy. But yeah, he's a replacement level player.
But it's okay. So forget who it is.
But Jeremy makes the best point of all of this.
Right.
Cleveland had an outstanding offensive line and an outstanding running game. I always forget the guy's name, the fourth string running back last year. Remember, it was Case Keenum and Dontario or D'Antero or
the
somebody.
Ernest Johnson.
The Ernest Johnson.
Yeah. Yes.
Not the Ernest, but D. Ernest. Yes. Not Ernest, but D. Ernest. He ran for 100-something yards. He was a fantasy pickup of the flavor of the week, right? And that's all because of that offensive line. Let's be clear. The Panthers have improved their offensive line, but it's not going to look like that or play like that. So I think it's going to be a serious challenge. Also, you have to remember that this is a player from Oklahoma. One of my favorite things is when they talk about players from, why did Mark Sanchez not work out? Why did Matt Leinart not work out? Well, they're used to playing with like
really
20 other
people.
Pros.
Yeah, yes.
Then they get to the pro team and they're like, whoa, wait a second. These guys aren't as good as who I had with making me look really good in college. So I think that's an issue too for Baker
Mayfield.
Very
fair point. Conference realignment has been the other topic in the state this week. We have not seen an ACC team leave yet. Let me start with you, Jeremy, up in Asheville, where obviously we're in the triangle. It's a much more a bigger topic of discussion when it involves the schools like North Carolina or NC State or Duke or Wake or in the ACC, right? Is this a big discussion in your neck of the woods? Do people even care about whether teams do or don't leave the ACC up in Asheville?
Absolutely, but maybe not for the same reason. Up here, obviously, we're a North Carolina affiliate, so there are a lot of Tar Heel fans, Duke Blue Devil fans, NC State, on and on and on. The bigger question is there a path where we get left out and we wind up with some mismatch of Maryland and West Virginia, and that's what we have to try to cobble a conference around?
Right.
The funniest part of this to me is how many people have taken their shot at trying to figure out where people are going to land. Like yesterday, SwimSwam, which is a swimming blog,
very
a college
aware.
Swimming blog,
very aware.
Was trending on Twitter. At this point, nobody knows what's going to happen. You know, everybody's trying to find somebody to dance with. And there are a few really attractive teams out there. It just so happens that a lot of them are in the ACC. And they have the problem of the grant of rights, of which if you don't have your media rights deal, then it's kind of a non-starter until 2036. The TV deal, ESPN's apparently trying to get out of that with the ACC, which would give them a little more flexibility. So, I mean, yeah.
Hold on. Did you talk
about it in a lot of different ways.
Did you read that on SwimSwam that the ACC's trying to get out of their deal? Because that's the only place I saw that one.
So, that's – I've heard that from more than just SwimSwam, of ESPN's looking at their inventory, and that would be the allure of a Pac-12-ACC combo.
Gotcha.
If you look at the way the television schedule works in college football now, the SEC's owned 330 forever. Right. NBC with Notre Dame, they have a game in there too. So that's going to be – it's not an occupiable territory, but it's not very attractive. Fox will have noon.
Right.
And it's where are you going to put these games? What can you do to have the most alluring television game in a time window? And I think ESPN's looking at that now just going, not much with the ACC.
Gilio, why can't we just have UNC play Virginia starting at 11 o'clock and put that on the ACC network, baby? Make it work. We're making Big 12 teams start their game at like 10 a.m. to be on the big noon Saturday. Why can't we make teams play an 11 o'clock game?
There's definitely a regional appeal there. Like actually in Big Ten country and even in New Jersey where I grew up, like we thought kinda of
cool.
Saturday as noon, not a late game, not a 3:30 game. Obviously here in North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, Florida, we want to see later games. We want to see night games. But nationally, that Fox that gets the best ratings of the week a lot of the times. Now they have some interesting matchups, of course.
Right.
It's also a matter of what the schools are. Like when you have a school that has 150,000 alums, well, guess what?
They're going to watch.
They're going to have a lot of people watching their games. Yeah. So,
all right, you are a gambling man. You always,
I am.
You
what?
Always love an interesting proposition. The ACC will have. I want to put this as an over and under, but it's okay. Tough to define the ACC's demise. Whether that's if certain teams leave and the ACC still exists or whatever, but let's call the ACC's demise whether that's actually the league folding or if Clemson, Florida State, and UNC all left, right? Either of those two things happening. The over-under is 2030. Does it happen before or after that?
Sounds right. I would give them 10 years. I would give them 10 years to figure out. Like, you could wait out that grant of rights. I actually think when we talked to Elliot Abrams yesterday on the OG, he's a lawyer. He was Debbie Crowder's lawyer. He was Mark Gottfried's lawyer. So he understands NCAA issues. And one of the things that we had talked about with him was, what's stopping if Carolina leaves for the Big Ten, like everyone kind of speculates, right? What's stopping the Big Ten from giving the Rams Club, the Rams Foundation, the North Carolina Foundation, Educational Foundation, a $75 million a year gift?
Right.
Well, where did it come from? Oh, it's for the band. It's for the marching band. Like,
sure.
You could Butch Davis that contract is what I'm getting at here. So I think now you have to pay the money to get out of it. For sure, but I think there's a way around that back end of, well, you can't collect media rights. Okay, I'll just collect an educational foundation gift then.
Right. So they don't call it the media rights that then be due. But you still think that that's not something that somebody's willing to try.
30 is right.
Right.
I would go over 30, yeah.
That if the ACC hasn't made some changes, some reason to believe in them for the future by 2030, that things will start falling apart. Well,
one of the possibilities that Elliot had raised is the more people who want to leave, the stronger the case would be to dissolve the conference and the contracts. Sure. So if it's just one, if it's just Notre Dame or just Clemson trying to get out, that the success of that is unlikely. But all of a sudden, if it's 10 schools versus Pitt and Boston College and Wake Forest, well, guess what? Guess who's going to win that fight?
Yeah. Do either of you care about the NHL draft? If no, I won't ask you about it. If so, we can talk about that too. Jeremy, do you care about the NHL draft?
I know who none of those guys are, but I did turn it into a nice little drinking game last night.
Would it interest you if I told you that the Canes drafted a guy by the name of Cruz Lucius today? Would that interest you?
That's a phenomenal name. And I'm right with him the same place I am with the guy the Lightning drafted that had the American flag belt buckle.
Ooh, I didn't see that, but that's good stuff as well.
He was pretty fantastic too.
Did you see the parents that were making out when their kids got drafted with tongue? It was fantastic as well. It was good stuff. All right, then I'll leave an open-ended question to you. What else is interesting in your world? It's been a lot of Baker Mayfield and conference realignment on this show this week. What's the most interesting thing that you've been talking about outside of those two, Jeremy?
The fact that Kevin Durant is one of the three best players in the NBA, that's almost impossible to negate. And the fact that Rudy Gobert got four first-round draft picks has made Durant borderline unmovable.
Yeah, that is a big four first-round.
Is Kevin Durant still one of the three best players in the NBA?
He's so good offensively that it kind of mitigates the fact that he couldn't defend me.
Right.
And – I mean, Steph Curry held me to 6 points, so, you know, I wasn't that difficult to guard.
Right, whoa,
give us the story
on.
Now.
This guy's just trying to work the Steph Curry story in there. We're biting, give it to us.
That's actually in the open of my show. I played against Steph twice when we were in high school. We're the same age.
All right.
And he was on a completely stacked AAU team, and I was on the team that they put the ones with really good personalities. So we didn't fare. We got beat 112 the second time.
Were you the Asheville Generals?
No. we basically, yes. Actually, now that I've thought about that, yeah, we were the team that got sent when somebody really needed a win.
Oh, I could see that. I was going to say, we always joke about how, you know, whenever I see parents posting that they took their kid to this soccer tournament or this baseball or this hockey tournament, everybody goes 4-1. Everyone's like, we went 4-1 this weekend at the tournament. Like, hold on. The math ain't mathing on everybody going 4-1. So I think they used to bring in teams like Jeremy's, didn't have to pay the entry fee, and like, buddy, you're just here
you're
to
fodder.
Lose.
Let me make that math work for you. Because for every one of those 4-1 teams that you see, there's an 0-5 team that just got inundated with snow cones and all the cotton candy we could eat. And we had a great time. Just getting smoked every single time we touch the court.
I have no idea what Jeremy looks like. I'm already intrigued by Jeremy. I told him at some point I'm going to get him to do a Wright Thompson parody for me. Like, I'm going to write it, and
so
Jeremy's going
like
to read the script. Yeah. I forgot this year to do it. We're going to do it about pollen Instead of an intro to the Masters, you're like, oh, it's pollen season again. But the other thing, like, so I don't even know what he looks like, but now I picture him as like a slightly overweight 12-year-old who like thinks it, like maybe I can put my snow cone down during the 3 minutes I'm in the game and it won't melt enough, but also just a silky killer J. Like, don't leave him open in the three. You're like, man, that little
his
that
team
little,
scored 12 points. It wasn't that silky.
I was the original captain of Team Gets Mine. My favorite two words of the English language were my first name and my last name. If the ball hit my hands, green it light. Was going towards the rim. I was the original Carmelo Anthony ball stopper. But in terms of what I look like, you hit that pretty on the head when I was 12. Now I'm 35. I'm 6'5". I'm still overweight. And I'm a grown man with a mullet.
There we go.
So, yeah, I think you hit that pretty perfectly.
This is fantastic. All right, Joe Giglio, what's the most – yeah, and a Batman tattoo somewhere, apparently.
Yep.
Just one? Or do you have multiple Batman tattoos?
Just one for Batman.
There we go. Giglio, what's the most interesting thing you're talking about or watching this week? It could be – it doesn't even have to be something you talk on the radio show, baby. It could be what's going on in the Giglio world.
Anz Jabeur. We're rooting for her, yes.
What? So,
Wimbledon ticket, yes. So
this guy flinched when I mentioned that he might be a gambling man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now he's telling me his Wimbledon women's futures
picks. A little bit of wood there.
There we go. Gentlemen, I appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Enjoy your nice, cool, non-sticky, gross weather up there in Asheville. And we'll talk to you soon, Jeremy, Joe. Appreciate it, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is the Adam Gold Show.